Audible offers an incredible selection of audiobooks across every genre.
As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog, including the latest bestsellers and new releases.
Audible is the destination for thrilling audio entertainment with next listen recommendations to habituate every type of thriller listener.
The time is now more than ever to embrace the breathtaking, sinister, and shocking tales that have enthralled you, especially with brand new exclusive thrillers from best-selling authors who are guaranteed to keep you gripped.
So Ronnie, I recently downloaded Squeeze Me by Carl Hyacin, mainly because it shows a martini glass with a snake tail wrapped around it. I mean, what else needs to be said? And I am very excited to listen to it later today.
New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/crappins or text crappins to 500-500. That's audible.com/crappins or text crappins to 500-500.
At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada.
You can shop Saks.com for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch.
Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Watch what crappens. Watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Crappens.
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. I'm Ben Mandelker, and joining me today is the handsome and beautiful and hilarious and wonderful Mr. Ronnie Karam. Hi, Ronnie. How are you?
Well, aren't you a sweet little Amanda Peach?
Oh, well, it's sincere. It's very sincere. We are here today, Below Deck Season 10 premiere day. God, 10 seasons of this show. Who would have thought? I remember when this show aired.
10 years, man. And we have done we haven't done every season because we didn't do season one, right? When did we start with this show? Season two?
I think we started checking in with season two. And last season, we only did a part of Below Deck. We actually stopped doing last season because we needed a Below Deck break. So we just stopped. But here's the recap of last season. It was Heather, the chief stew, saying, "My apologies. My apologies." That was her. And then
is that the season we stopped doing?
Yeah.
Oh, God. Yes. That girl was terrible.
Yeah. I liked her at first, but then I think I was just wanting to like her. And then it became apparent that she was terrible. And then she said the N-word.
So. She did?
My apologies. What
was
her thing?
I remember there was something. My apologies. Well, I don't remember her saying that. What did she? Oh, she was rapping or something. Yeah,
she and Raina were coming back from the bathroom, and Raina said a song lyric or something, and then she parroted it, and it was not a great moment.
Why are you bringing that season back? I rubbed all of that out of my, about rubbing it out, but we are talking Below Deck. I had rubbed that out of my brain.
Well, Ronnie, I have one thing to say to you. My apologies.
My apologies. I do remember her making an apology post while she was wearing like cornrows or something. And I was like, this is not the look for your apology picture. Madame.
Yeah. Well, either way, we've moved onward and upwards, and we're here with Below Deck.
Well, not anymore. I'm re-fucking traumatized, Ben. So thanks a lot. Feeling all that trauma flooding right over me. Now I'm like, die, show. I was actually excited for a season 10. Not anymore. You're dead to me, show. Get dead.
Well, she's not back. She's gone. And Fraser, British stew, he's back and he's chief stew. So let's dive into it. Of course, join our Patreon, patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. Oh, by the way, tomorrow we have a family karma recap. You guys have been begging us. So we have like an update of family karma. We sort of catch up on the season and the latest episode. That's also going to be a Crappens on Demand episode. So go join patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. If you support at the Crappens on Demand level, you can watch us do the recap, probably get a Bueller cameo in there, which we all love. So go check that out. And of course, get access to our bonus episodes and our Discord community and all sorts of other things. So patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. And by the way, Friday is Black Friday, consumer holiday. So go check out crappensmerch.com and buy some merch for your loved ones for whatever holiday you may be celebrating.
Yes, thank you for mentioning that because I forgot. Yeah, we're going to put up some new stuff probably next week so you guys can get some stuff, some new stuff. But we put a bunch of our most popular previous designs. And I don't want anyone going there and being like, Ramona, why are you putting Ramona on leggings? This was pre-season, whatever this last season went. Pre-final season of Ramona on those leggings. So don't get mad. I just put them back up there because we made them already. So they're there. But yeah, go check out stuff. There's fun designs there to check out. Crappensmerch.com.
Yeah, there'll be some new stuff too. So yeah, crappensmerch.com.
Okay. Get you some Luann leggings. Those are
I'm wearing my Luann shirt right now.
Well, there you go, guys. So go check that stuff out. I'm very excited. I'm making a shirt right now that says Healing Journey. So yeah, that'll be fun for any Salt Lake City fans. We're working on some other stuff. Hopefully a little Christmas design. But, you know, going to sit down and start knocking some stuff out here this week. So just keep checking back at crappensmerch.com. And Merry Christmas to you and your whole family in a month. And Thanksgiving right now. Ben, take it away. Please do not talk about season 9 anymore. Okay, got the taste out of my mouth.
Question, should we do a Jizz for Jazz t-shirt? How do people feel about that? Too vulgar or just right on the money? Let us know.
I would love to know, because I feel like no one will wear a Jizz for Jazz t-shirt. But, you know, if you want it,
we'll make
it. Build it and it will jizz. Okay?
Build it and it will come.
They will jizz.
So I love that. I love Jizz for Jazz.
But anyway, dreams.
Jizz for Jazz. Well, right now we're doing Jizz for Yachts. Because we're on Below Deck. So it opens up, you know, the way Below Deck, except for Adventure, the way they open up is it's like a semi-trailer. It's kind of trailery, but also with interviews. I'm skipping all the trailer parts. I'm just going to do the parts where people talk. So we have Rachel. She's back. And she's like, I am the mercenary of cooks. Cooter, butthole, fuckface. And then you have Frasier. I don't know why I included that. Then Frasier, he's like, I'm back. I've been crowned king, well, chief stew, and I guarantee everyone around me will be filth, garbage, trash hoes.
Yes, because Frasier's like the snooty dude who last year was like, that girl doesn't know what she's doing. I am trained. I know everything. And then the guests are like, there was trash left on our bed. And he's like, damn it. So he's the one who likes to talk real snooty, but then falls apart at the seams. So I'm excited to see what he does, especially is Chief Stew.
I was really excited to see him on this. It's funny because last season I think I came down on him and I was like, oh, well, he thinks he knows it all, but he doesn't know it all. But then this season when I saw him, I'm like, oh, it's like a warm hug. Because I realized, what am I turning my nose up for? My favorite thing is how he's so nice to people to their face and then he's so mean to them. But like, to him, like, he has like lots of monologues. He's like, disgusting. I don't even know why I try with that filth crap bag of a human being.
Yeah. I'm actually glad to see him again, too. And also, I have a little pity for him because I know that, and I mentioned this on the Below Deck Adventure recap, so sorry to repeat to anybody who listened to that, but he was supposed to lead this BravoCon panel for Below Deck, and Kyle, who was not invited, ended up paying for his own plane ticket to show up and just took the whole thing over. So I feel kind of bad for Frasier because I know this was like his big moment. And then Kyle just came in and stole all of his shit.
Of course.
Yeah.
And then we meet Ross, who's the new bosun. He's like, hello, my name is Ross. I have a Bryan Cranston face and I come from the old school of yachting. And you know, you work hard and you work hard and you work hard, but you play hard and then you make meth in a basement in Albuquerque. And I've definitely overstepped that line, but I try to be professional.
Breaking Bad face is probably the funniest shit. He really does have Bryan Cranston Breaking Bad face. Also, he looks like he has a severe alcohol problem. So that works.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, I feel like he had a situation. He had like a Dorian Gray situation, but the picture of Dorian Gray, whoever did it, just did like a body shot. They're like, oh, sorry, we didn't include your face on the canvas. Did you need that?
Your body will stay young, but your face will brand Cranstein till it's dead, you know?
It's like, that was the point. You're supposed to get a full face shot. Like, sorry.
Watery eyes, bloodshot eyes, red nose. Get the man some help. I mean, we're one minute into the show, and I can already tell you need some help, sir.
Moisturizer.
So then who is... Oh, English I wrote. That's his name. Alky Face is what I wrote. I like yours better. So then we get Alyssa. She's like, I'm definitely a flirty person. I was like, oh, God, here Great. We go. One of these overly happy people again.
Yeah. Hooking up and yachting. I mean, you're on these boats, pent up stress. The attention is like a fucking dream on a yacht. I'm like, throw her overboard right now before we even start the season.
And then we get Camille, who is being played by the chick from Homeland and Claire My So-Called Danes. Life. Yes, Claire Danes. Oh, my God. Isn't she?
Yeah. And she is actually Alyssa's redemption, because Alyssa coming in strong with the attention is like a fucking dream. You're like, oh, she's the worst. But then here comes Camille with, I'm just a small town Mississippi gal and I'm a really big personality. I love to twerk.
Okay, boo. Who else threw shit at their TV? Really? You're going to retread the love to twerk storyline? Courtney's not fascinating enough to copy.
Another skinny white girl using twerking as a personality trait.
Oh, and then we see her twerking. They show her twerking all over the boat. And it's like one of those real slow, sad, you know, white college girl twerks. It's like... It's like a cat scratching its butt up against a post, you know? It's not a twerk, ma'am. Your butt itches. You have swamp ass.
And then we have Ben, who has, like, Disney face. He has, like, Smee face. Is that his name, Smee? Snee? Smee?
I don't know.
Look up Smee real quick. Just
Smee? How do I spell it?
S-M-E-E from...
Smee.
From Peter from Pan. Hook?
All right, let me see.
or maybe it's like Seven Dwarfs face.
But so which one is this, Ben?
Ben. He's like Australian.
He does have kind of a cartoony face, doesn't he?
I was really like all about... I don't
know about Smee. Smee's like some old white guy.
I thought when I said it, I thought he was going to be younger looking. So... We'll revive. I will find the Disney character that's more appropriate.
Well, we're definitely printing Bryan Cranston and Ixnang Snee.
Yeah, Bryan Cranston. Yes, Snee. Okay, let's look.
Cranston. Why am I calling him Bryan Cranston? What is wrong with
me? I like it. That's like someone I went to Hebrew school with. He's like the. You know what it is? He's like the young. Is it Dopey? I'm looking at now the Seven Dwarves, and they all have white beards, but one of them doesn't.
Are you saying it's because he? I wrote Ben, funny face. That's what I wrote. I could be Peter Pan. Oh, I just got to find my Tinkerbell. So maybe that's why you wrote that.
Yeah.
Who says that?
Isn't
Tinkerbell? Did Peter? I don't think Peter Pan fucked Tinkerbell anyway. She was too tiny. What are you talking about, sir? I don't like your mixed metaphors.
Who is the one who did things for Pinocchio? Wasn't that Tinkerbell also? That wasn't Tinkerbell. Did not cross over to Pinocchio.
Oh, that was Jiminy Cricket.
Jiminy Cricket, yeah, but wasn't there that also...
fucking? You want to talk about a fucking know-it-all? Just fucking Jiminy Cricket, walking around in his tuxedo. Change, you're a cricket.
No, I like a fancy cricket.
Outdressed He's like the by only a fucking one. Cricket.
Wait, then who gave Pinocchio his special powers? I mean, take
girl, back. I hated Pinocchio anyway. I was like, what's so bad about lying? And what's bad about big noses? Stop coming for the Lebanese people.
You know what's funny about Pinocchio? For some reason, directors feel like they can they always are like taking a stabs at the Pinocchio story. Like Guillermo del Toro literally has a Pinocchio movie out right now. It's like, why are you doing this? There's only one version that works, and every other version is creepy and unpleasant. Stop
it. Every version is creepy. Like half of it takes place in the stomach of a whale. You know, like, I'm not going to watch that fucking thing again, fucking Pinocchio. They're like, whoa, as you get older, you start lying more. Like, welcome to Instagram. What year was this made? No way.
Then shaming little boys for having fun by turning them into donkeys? It's a weird, it's a fucked up story. If it's you really a think
fucked
about
up
it.
Story. It really it's is. Fucked poor up Pinocchio.
Pinocchio. Jesus. Pinocchio.
And then you turn old, you know, where you're supposed to learn better against lying, and you're like, God, what I would do to stay that hard.
Yeah.
All the time. You know?
I'm looking. It's a.
No, I'm just lying everywhere I go, you know?
In the Disney one, Pinocchio is brought to life by a blue fairy who informs him that he can become a real boy if he proves himself to be brave, truthful, and unselfish. Well, as far as I can tell, based on the men we've seen on Below Deck, none of those attributes are present. Hey,
none of you are going to be a real boy. So then,
Jiminy Cricket would be a yacht captain if he had the chance in life. Like if yachts had been invented, you know, Jiminy, it would be like Below Deck Malaysia, and here's your captain, Jiminy Cricket. All right, let me tell you how we're running this boat. I want everyone to
top
hats. I
got a pocket full of plane tickets. Well, I don't got pockets in this goddamn tiny tux, but I do got a top hat full of goddamn plane tickets.
When you wish upon a star, how about you wish for some good weather for once and clean up this window?
You got time to wish. You got time to swish the floors and mop water. Swish it. So then we get Katie, gravelly voice Katie, who's like, being a woman, you have to work harder. I may be a pretty face, but I do know how to rock it.
She knows about Katie, Aruba, right? In England. Get it!
So stupid.
So then, now we have Tony, who's like, all of my life fits in. I don't know what accent I'm doing. I'm like, yeah, I'm too turned
around. I'm not going to try this time. Spanish, I'll give this 3 weeks for Tony. Okay, Costa Rican.
He's from Costa Rica, but I can't. Like right
he's
now,
like, all my life fit in the backpack. If I don't fit it in the backpack, you throw it away. I'm not going to even attempt that for a good solid 3 weeks, and then you'll get a very terrible accent that will come out of that waiting period.
Congrats on your backpack life, Marie Yachto.
And then we get, what's this chick? Haley.
Haley? Like,
people would describe me as a sensational, stunning, hot mess, crazy bitch. I'm like, yep, you're my type. Love you.
Exactly. And then Captain Lee, we are going to work your asses to the bone if it means I have to wear this Jiminy Cricket top hat every single day. Okay, charter up.
So, if I catch you wishing on a star, you're going to be wishing on a scar. Got it? Boot so far up your asshole, you're going to be scarred from cheek to chin. It's just that far, but still.
It's amazing how much Jiminy Cricket is an enduring cultural icon when he really only has one notable song and no good quotes. Really can't do a lot of running jokes with Jiminy Cricket beyond when you wish upon a star. Am I right? Am I right?
And then we get the ending line by Fraser. He's like, bye. What a horrible group of people.
So now we're in St. Lucia. I believe somewhere in here, Captain Lee always give some sort of like nod to the tourism board. Like, you know, the locals, the whatever. I assume that whatever country or area that they film in, they have to like, it's like you're allowed to dock here. But you got to say something nice about where we are. So Captain Lee's like, St. Lucia, they got trees that go all the way to the top of the mountaintops. They got roads and they got a beach and it's nice. It's there. It's in the shape of an island because it is an island. It's circular, but a little squarish too. So we love it here.
The captain is just like years and years into this. He's just like, St. Lucia, I'd rather be seen elsewhere. You know what? All right, let's roll it again. I'll just keep saying shit. All right. So Fraser is the first step, rolling his little suitcase, and he says to the boat the same thing my meemaw says every time I roll up to pick her up on Sunday. Wow, she is big.
And then does she also say, oh, for God's sake, because then he can't get his shoes off. He's trying to take his shoes off on the yacht. For fuck's sake. So then we have Captain Lee. He's like looking at resumes and he's like, why is it with every CV they call themselves self-motivated? What are these? It's a group of, I'll tell you what's self-motivated. A group of five-dicked chickens going after some hens.
Well, this is brilliant. So nice. Are you kidding me with this boat? Are you kidding me? Well, they could have made the beds at least. All right. Well, don't like that. Fuck you, trash beds. Otherwise, perfect job on the boat. Hello, Captain. He's like, great to see you again, gay who's not Kyle. I'm sorry. I can only keep one of you in my mind at one time. You're going to have to remind me of your name. Wait, hold on. Hello, it's me, Captain.
Kyle just jumps right in front of Fraser.
Look at that smile.
Captain, I love you, Captain. Cha.
So Fraser tells us, he says, I left my Sienna and I went back to the Med and I've been a chief for a season now. And the kind of boss I want to be, I want to be a friend, but I want to be a leader. But the friend I want to be is the kind of friend that says, you're disgusting, get out of my sight, you pathetic excuse for hair extensions.
Which, coincidentally, is also the kind of leader I'd like to be. So I'm just hoping I can mesh both of those terrible attitudes towards people into one terrible attitude towards people.
So they're looking at their the list of stews or their resumes, and Kathleen's like, oh, okay, hey, and this one right here is going to be a floater. Oh, a soft piece of shit. Now she's gonna
totally make it all the way to Big Brother at the end of Big Brother without doing anything. Nah, wrong show, stupid.
Do we have a brazen redhead who can say floater, get your life vest? Actually, we do. Believe it or not, her name is Haley.
He's like, brilliant. And this one, Camille, yeah, she's a floater. I already said her. All right. Well, this is a big boat. Okay, so those calf muscles are going to burn like a baby demon at a baptism, all right? Bigger boat means longer hauls, more stairs. There's a whole other deck here. That means more echoes of Kyle screaming, ah! Every time he falls.
Well, I guess
not here, sir. This is me, Fraser. Damn it, he's here.
Well, and I guess since we have an extra deck, that means the name of this show would be Below Deck. Or is it Below Deck Deck? Or Below the Deck, but above another deck. We're going to workshop it.
Below a shit ton of decks, goddammit.
I'm going to call this show, hey, this is like being in a casino when the table falls you. Below Decks of cards.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
Hungry Root is the easiest way to eat healthy. They send you fresh, high-quality groceries, simple recipes, and essential supplements. It's like your personal assistant for healthy living.
So you take a fun, short quiz, and Hungry Root will get to know your personal health goals, what you like to eat, and more. And then they'll build you a personalized cart with all your grocery needs for the week and give you a delicious recipe recommendations to put those groceries to use.
Each order is fully customizable, so you can take their suggestions or choose anything you want. We love this place. It's like, I like eating this, this, and this. I'm a vegetarian, eat some fish sometimes. They send you all these groceries that all fit into exactly what you like.
Yeah, I have an issue with snacking in that I always want to snack, but I often snack on things that aren't always as good for me. And it was really great to get all sorts of healthy, nutritious snacks from Hungry Root. Right now, Hungry Root is offering Watch What Crappens listeners 40% off your first delivery and free veggies for life.
Just go to hungryroot.com/crappens to get 40% off your first delivery and get your free veggies.
That's hungryroot.com/crappens. Don't forget to use our link so they know we sent you.
Well, I'm getting to that age now, Ronnie, where I see myself on camera and I can see the back of my head. The hair is thinning out. And honestly, I mean, I have to imagine that the past few years, the stress in our world, in our lives, has impacted it.
I mean, your hair is never just about your hair, and Nutrafol knows that. It could be your job, your deodorant, your hormones. It could be almost anything that has almost nothing to do with your hair. And that's why Nutrafol takes a whole body approach to hair health, addressing the problems inside to help hair grow on the outside, supporting your lifestyle, not just your hairstyle. With Nutrafol, building a hair growth routine is simple. Purchase online, no prescription or doctor's visits required. Free shipping and automated deliveries ensure you'll never miss a day. See results in 3 to 6 months.
Address your root causes of hair thinning with Nutrafol. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter the promo code CRAPPINS.
Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com, promo code CRAPPINS.
That's Nutrafol.com, promo code CRAPPINS.
Well, this deck stew, all right, is going to be splitting her duties between deck and interior. What could go wrong? What could go wrong? All right, everyone else has one boss. She has two, right?
I mean, at this point, you might as well just call her Judith Light and say, who's the boss? Because she's got two of them, am I right?
Well, this is great. Thank you so much for welcoming me back.
Captain just grunts.
Yeah. Like, and then Fraser just goes into his room and goes, absolutely appalling. That's actually like the affirmations he gives himself just to get ready for work. Absolutely appalling. Horrific. Piece of trash. Garbage. Slut.
So then Rachel shows up and she's standing outside the captain's bridge or whatever. And she's playing like elevator pantomime outside the window. She's like, oh, going down, coming up, going down. Hi, look at me. I'm in a glass box. You're putting your actual goddamn fingers against the glass, Rachel. All right, it's not pantomime.
Hey, don't make fun of your elevator situation because you're going to have 10 floors to go down just to get to your CRISPR. Okay, come on. Get in here, kiddo. You got one kiddo to start the season.
You thought it was pantomime, but it's really overture to your entire goddamn season, stupid. Get in here, kiddo.
Congratulations, you just discovered your story arc for the season. Stairs.
So she's like, I'm so excited to see my butt daddy again. Please, Captain Lee, don't shit on me. I don't like to eat a bunch of ass.
Well, we got a brand new boat. It's big and has a lot of really disgusting design in it that Fraser thinks is beautiful for some reason. So you're going to have a cabin to yourself, my dear, and you're going to knack their socks off. And you look great, by the way. Someone named Carl told me that. I should say that to you.
So then Fraser and Rachel see each other and start screaming like, ah! And the captain meets Ross. He's like, well, hello, you must be Ross. He's like, I am. I am, Captain. I'm Ross, just an innocent high school teacher who wants nothing but to help his son who possibly has a disease and is running nothing out of this car wash illegal.
Oh, I was not expecting that. Yes, well, I've worked on 26 yachts, and before that I was an intern for Jay Leno, and I judged a few drag queen competitions over the years, won an Emmy or so, and here I am, Ross.
So Fraser and Rachel are checking out the galley, and he's like, oh, look at the lighting in here. You have your own cabin, bitch. She's like, oh, God, I love when you try to act like a fun gay around me. It's so cute. Yas, bitch. That's hilarious.
It is funny watching Fraser do that because he has so much disdain for just that. You guys be like, stupid, annoying gays, the yasses. It's the word is yes. Yes.
Yeah, he's not a fun gay, but he knows that's what's expected of him. So he's like calls people bitch, but it doesn't sound like the fun bitch. It's just like, you have your own cabin, bitch. It's like, whoa, whoa. The B was a little hard there, sir.
So Ross has 11 years of experience on yachts, and he says he tries to hold back when people meet him. He goes, I'm not one to walk on board, but, you know, and say, hi, I'm Ross. I like group sex. Although I suppose I did just say that, and my boner is already sticking out of my pocket, isn't it?
I know that I've never worked in the yachting industry, so let me preface what I'm about to say with that. I don't think saying I've worked on 26 boats sounds very good. It sounds like you just get fired a lot. That's what it sounds like to me. You know, it's like, here's my resume. It's 19 pages long. It's like, wow. It's a lot of boats.
So then Fraser meets Ross and he's like, oh, he looks cute. Like a Brillo pad that I found behind the dishwasher one day. Sexy.
You're a bosun, right? But I'm going to give you the choice on where you'd like to live, bro. And he's like, well, I like a small train. But and Fraser's like, brilliant. I was like, oh, God, we're already here. We go. Another below deck. Now a trope with the guy who loves group sex. Yeah.
Ross, I found a room that I thought would be suitable for you. It has an arrangement where you can put your pillow right by the portholes. That way, when the sun comes in bright in the morning, and just gives you extra wrinkles if you want it. Is that what you'd like?
Since your goal seems to be turning into a leather belt, I thought I'd give you that option.
Did you already say when Ross said, I'm not going to walk on board to a ship saying, hello, I'm Ross, I like group sex.
I did say that, and then I made a strange joke about a boner in a pocket afterwards.
I remember the boner joke, but not what led up to it, because I was scrolling through notes trying to figure out what they meant.
It's okay, that happens from time to time, which is why if people are wondering why sometimes we repeat each other, it's because usually we're trying to figure out where the hell we are at any given moment in our thousands and thousands of notes. Anywho, here's
especially in a new Below Deck. It's like, oh my God. There's a lot of nothing here. There's a lot of nothing.
How could you say that? There's a lot happening here. Anyway, so now Rachel is trying to open a dishwasher and she can't figure it out.
I like that they just keep cutting to Rachel going, fuck you, stupid fucking dishwasher.
Stupid bitch. So now Alyssa's on board, and she says that she enjoys making cocktails. She goes, and the guests just like enjoy me for some reason. I don't know what it is. My goal is I want to make as much money as possible and meet as many high-end people as possible and mooch off them and live a fancy life. Okay. Could the yachty who was discovered by a wealthy guest who then was swooped up and then became wealthy also, could that person step forward? Because I don't believe that person really exists.
They don't
but everyone
exist.
Seems to think that this is a path.
Yeah. The mooching doesn't last, you know. It's not a reliable gig, you know?
Yeah. I think in general, the being on a yacht to marrying into wealth pipeline is very dry. And that goes for whether you're working on the yacht or you were hired to be on the yacht. But like, I don't think that's a successful path in life.
Well, the yacht girl thing is, you know, like the yacht hooker-ish stuff that goes on. I think that can lead somewhere, I think. I mean, I don't know.
It's not sustainable.
Doing push-ups for every day. Well, sustainable. What good is sustainable? You know what I mean? Like, plastic, it's not sustainable. It's like the best invention we've ever had in this world. Saccharin. True.
Saccharin.
You know? Aspartame. Really just all sweeteners.
Splenda.
Yeah. None of that stuff is sustainable. Sustainable things. Sustainable is bullshit, okay? Okay, so now the redhead hourglass.
Hayley.
It's like, I'm Hayley, your stewardess.
Three things I like about myself. It's quite obvious, isn't it? Ass, tits, hair, ka-ching. I don't know why I added a ka-ching at the end because I wasn't checking anything out at the store or receiving any money, but it sounded like a good punctuation. So that's what it is. Ass, tits, hair, ka-ching.
So she meets Alyssa, and Alyssa's like, oh my God, hi. And she's like, oh, hello. Is my giggling coming off as sincere? And she's like, yeah, oh my God, totally. We're going to totally be friends. And she's like, oh my God, I love your hair. She's like, you too. I was like, hair flick. Oh my God, so was I as well.
Wow, we'll be great friends.
We both have hair. This is going to be a great season, eh?
So then Captain Lee is up in his wheelhouse and he's like, God damn it. This is the first time I've ever had a captain's chair that didn't swivel. Like, wow. It's crazy. I'm just left and right. It's just silence. Strange.
So Ben meets Katie. He's like, hello, I'm Ben. She's like, hi, I'm Katie. And he's like, well, hello, good morning, everyone. This is Ross, sorry. Ben and Ross, you know, what are you going to do? But Ross is like, hello, good morning or afternoon. When am I waking up? Am I right? I'm only 47. Don't expect me to know. I'm Bosun. Welcome aboard. Does anybody have a beer?
And then Fraser is now gathering the stews to talk, and Haley's experience is more on the service side. And Alyssa goes, actually, I love housekeeping, which generally is the biggest lie that's ever said from stews on Below Deck, because they always say that, and then they get so mad. With the exception of Natalia. Natalia was the first person who, like, got into the laundry room and stayed there all season and, like, absolutely adored it.
Yeah, but it's hard to know, really, because everyone's on their best behavior. He's like, let's talk about your experience. I like big hair. I love big hair as well. In boats. Your experience in boats. Service, I guess. Tits. Hey, do you have something? What works best with tits, hair, and ass? That's what I want to do. All right? Send me there.
And so then when Alyssa says, I actually love housekeeping, Fraser goes, boom. Did that sound natural? A little casual boom? Because what I really wanted to say is, of course you do, you stupid garbage whore.
But also all I really have to do is take one look at Claire Danes and say, boom, there goes the Wynamite. I see it coming from a mile away.
So, well, I just inhaled my own spittle, excuse me. Boom. So now Camille, Tony comes on board. He's all smiles like, wow. And then Camille, the deck stew, comes on board. And Fraser starts sending everyone to the cabin. And he meets Camille. And he goes like, this is so exciting. I'm so excited to meet a daft, blonde American girl who probably has a sense of entitlement and can't even wash a stupid spot off of a wall. Great to meet you. Brilliant.
And he's showing her around and they pass Ross. And he's like, well, hello, I'm Ross. She's like, oh, like the discount store. He's like, yes, yes, the Ross Dress for Less. Always good to have an American on board.
Fraser's like, I don't understand this concept. Ross Dress for Less, is that an American thing? It's disgusting, whatever it is. I can already tell.
So then Camille's like, oh my God, are you the bosun? Because I'm a stew too. Well, I'm sure we'll be meeting later because, like, I'm not just on laundry. Okay? Just want to get that out there.
So Ross tells us, you know, I'm attracted to a few of the girls on the boat. It convolutes the working relationship. It's even more complicated if they're on my team. And I'm going to try to be as good as I can, but I'm not very good at that kind of thing. All right, I'm in trouble. I'm like, oh no, it's another Gary.
Weathered Gary. It's just like the crinkly drunk dude who just keeps doing yachts because there are so fewer guys to choose from that he always ends up getting some.
Yeah, exactly. He like knows how to play the yacht game.
Yeah.
So,
it's like, what else? What are your other options?
So then we have a situation here that we know is going to be disastrous. Fraser and Ross are talking about like what to do with Camille. And Fraser says, oh, well, you know, I'll just have like Camille clean. And if you ever need her, you can just take her. I'm like, sure, that's going to be work out just perfectly on below deck.
Yeah. So then Camille meets Katie and she's like, where are you from? And Katie's like, Ohio. And she's like, oh, yeah, I was going to say, because I hear a little of that Midwestern. And Katie's like, yeah, and I hear a lot of idiot. Where are you from? The South, Southern girl. Katie's like, awesome.
I'm from a small town in Mississippi that was like too small for me. And I was like very ready to get out of there. Like, because growing up, people wouldn't invite me to the party because I ended up being the center of attention. So I'm not trying to be. I just love being a little extra. I'm like, that means you're trying to be the center of attention.
That means you're trying to be, dum-dum.
It's so fucking boring not to be. Does that sound egotistical? Yes.
I'm just glad because I thought she was going to. People wouldn't invite me to the party because I'm like too pretty. Like I thought she was going to go with that trope. But instead she's like, because I was always the center of attention. So it's not like I'm trying to be. I just like being extra.
Always had too radiant of a personality and too magnetic a draw to be invited into parties. Otherwise I would distract people away from the kegs and the iPod. I was like, what are you talking about?
Yeah. People are like, listen, your light shines too bright to be at this cow tipping. get on the train.
You don't belong here.
Find your way.
Lady with personality that we enjoy. You don't belong here.
So, yeah, she's like, is that egotistical? And then we see Fraser talking to Camille now. And he's like, well, you're going to be with us most of the time until I realize what a twit you are. So now look at this hole that opens and closes in the ceiling. You see that? She's like, yeah, what's that do? He's like, the bottom of the hot tub is up there. Can you imagine? How fierce is that?
That, yas, queen. Although I'm reluctant to actually say the word queen around you, as you are far, far from Her Majesty. Rest in peace.
So then Ross is talking to the deckies, and he's like, are you familiar with anchoring? And Tony's like, lots of anchors. So many anchors. I'm so good with the anchors. And Katie's like, yeah, so many anchors. Me too. Like, so many. So many.
If there's one girl that knows a thing about anchoring in the middle of the ocean, it's a girl from Ohio. So you can trust me.
Although she lives in Fort Lauderdale. I needed to get out of that town. That town was too small for me. I was just trying to anchor things all the time.
Do you know how hard it is to pull lines on a boat, but it turns out you're in a supermarket throwing cereal down the aisle? It is hard.
All right. Well, if you bring this, if you turn this wheel too far up, even the tiniest amount, it gets stuck and then we're all dead. So four spins up, four spins down. How many boats have we done? And Ben's like, I've done two boats. And Tony's like, I'll do whatever you tell me to do. I have pillow hands ready for everything.
Okay. Seven spins to the left, three to the right, and then kick it with your foot. Got it. No, Katie, that's not what I said at all.
So then we can tell right off the bat that Camille's a great worker because she's just walking through the hallway and passes by an open door and just sprays Febreze in it and keeps walking.
She's like, that counts. So then Fraser tells Captain Lee that they don't have coffee or cream. And Captain Lee's like, a $30 million fucking dollar yacht and we don't have coffee or cream. What sort of goddamn non-shoe-like, non-motorhome yacht is this?
I got a plane ticket for this goddamn boat. So Ben pats Fraser on the shoulder. He's like, I've got you. Well, I don't know. It was a weird pat. So then the captain's like, all right, let's get this party started. I'm the captain. I got two rules. Don't embarrass the boat. Do not embarrass your goddamn selves. Now I've got a pocket full of plane tickets. We clear? All right. Here, this is on my list. I got, hold on. Let me just wait for the vulnerability to just wash the fuck over me. All right, one thing I gotta cover. I'm a little incapacitated. I've got a nerve issue on my left-hand side, so just make sure no one stands on it, because it's a nerve issue, got it? You'll get this cane right up your bunghole.
Let me tell you something. Just because I got a nerve issue doesn't mean I don't have a top hat issue. Jiminy Cricket taught me a few things, and I'm going to be walking around here, ordering you around, but also crooning a little bit this season. Now, I just want to point out, I just want to circle back to something that when I said, do not embarrass yourselves. Of course, I understand that our uniforms have a base level of embarrassment, because look at this stupid basic Microsoft Word font that they use for Saint David. What the hell is this bullshit? Could they not select something other than Calibri font, for crying out loud?
Do not embarrass the boat. Do not embarrass yourselves. Embarrassing your parents is implied, so don't worry about that one. All right, let's get to work.
Oh, wait, one second. Just to reiterate that I have a pocket full of plane tickets. Please welcome pop sensation Natasha Bedingfield singing a parody of her hit song, Pocket Full of Sunshine. I got a pocket full of plane tickets, pocket full of plane tickets. Thank you, Natasha. You can go back to singing other songs now.
I love your hair. So they get back to work, and Alyssa and Haley are holding these big round rectangle things, I don't know, oblong things. And Alyssa's like, what are those? And Haley's like, big, massive penis. That's what it is. Like, oh my God, you're hilarious. No, you are.
And then Fraser, like, there's a pillow that's out of, like, just a pillow, maybe two pillows that are out of order, and Fraser sees it and he goes, what is this absolute pile of shit?
And then he walks in and sees them working, and he's like, ladies, I love that. This looks fantastic. Alyssa knows what she's doing, and she's doing it very well. Polished, structured. Let's watch her make a bed together, shall we? And she's making it. She's like, tits, hair, ass. Tits, hair. Yes, look at her. Coming around the corners, perfect hospital corners. Look at that blanket. Perfectly crooked. Just wonderful work. Haley, not so much, but she's very enthusiastic.
Ka-ching! Ka-ching! Okay, stop saying the ka-ching noise and just do a hospital corner, please.
Commercials.
Here comes one right now.
Do you struggle trying to reach those corner lashes when applying mascara? L'Oreal Paris new Panorama Mascara catches every lash for corner-to-corner volume.
Your sister has been using this, right?
She loves it. Yes, they sent me some, and I gave it to my sister and my nieces. And actually, I looked at, I saw my niece the other day and was like, your eyelashes, is that the new mascara? She's like, yes, look at them. They were like fanned out. I mean, this is a great product.
You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Want to see life in panorama with fully fanned out lashes? Now you can with L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara that creates corner-to-corner panoramic lash volume.
This podcast is supported by FedEx. FedEx offers fast delivery, more visibility, simple returns, and weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. population on Saturday and 50% on Sunday. With FedEx, you get picture proof of delivery, ensuring you always know where your package is. Returns are simple with packageless and paperless returns. Plus, FedEx Ground is also faster to more locations than UPS Ground. See the FedEx service guide for delivery information. So, what are you waiting for? See what FedEx can do for your business. Absolutely, positively, FedEx.
So, yeah, then he's like lost in this boat. And so he's talking to himself in the hallway. He's like, where have I come from? Hell, that's where I've come from.
So now it's provisions and everyone's like, oh my God, it's like so hot. And Frasier's like, I'm sweating like an absolute swine. So then Rachel is in the walk-in, and she's like, this is a massive boat, which means she's a big bitch, and it's harder to run through so many levels. I have to walk down to my walk-in, and my dry storage as well. These stairs are definitely going to build an ice ass if I don't fucking burn them down first. With a sledgehammer. Maybe I'll sledgehammer them, then burn them down. Maybe I'll sledgehammer them, burn them down, then I'll cut him with an ass.
I was like, uh-oh, Rachel's coming in extremely psycho this season.
did she just receive a text from Austin Kroll? What's going on here? Why do they put the freezer two stories down from the galley? I do not understand.
Boats do not respect chefs, okay? They just don't. We've learned that on these boats. There is no respect for the artistry. That's a chiffery.
Just seems so bizarre. So now Katie and Tony are cleaning, and Katie's like, Miami style, we'd be working in our bikinis. Yeah, like Monday and Tuesday, I would eat whatever I wanted. And then Wednesday and Thursday, I would like drop all the carbs so I could be in the bikini. And then like Miami style. She should do Crappin' style, which is underwear and t-shirt.
Just wait for your boobs to fold in on themselves. Yeah.
So then she's like, yeah, I grew up in Cincinnati. I lived back in the woods and we'd go hiking and I was the one who ventured out. I was like, boom, fell into yawning. I can do anything the boys can do.
Everyone just like cliches. It's like we have the I love attention. We have the my childhood trauma is that I just was like people were jealous of me. And I'm just like one of the boys and twerking. It's like all the cliches and they're just scattered amongst all the ladies this season. It's kind of amazing.
So then we go to the preference sheet meeting and it's Frasier, Rachel, Ross, and Captain Lee. Okay, you have to just say those names over and over until I'm getting everybody. Yeah. So the captain's like, how you doing, Frasier? And he's like, exhausted. But well, all right. Well, we're going to need to work on that one. Goddamn complaining, Jane.
Okay. All right. Well, it looks like someone brought a bathroom vent. Oh, no, sorry. That is Ross's face. Wow, just a lot of lines. Anywho.
So no one's been assigned to ironing yet? Faces? Am I right?
Okay, so the primary's name is Peng Lim, and he's an in-demand tax professional. I'm not sure where he lives, but I'm sure his street is HR. Anyone get it? HR block? HR, is that?
It's his whole goddamn block. Is that better? Anybody stumble after? All right.
HR block? No. All right.
No. I just want to say this again because I know that nobody has ever heard this phrase before. Ready for it? in-demand tax professional. Yes, I did just say that on Below Deck. I did.
Hold on one second. I need to, it reminds me I do have to do my taxes. Okay, I want to look for an out-of-demand tax professional, because apparently there's a... Apparently that's a distinction.
Professional loser. All right. I'm looking for.
Wow. I do believe he was recently on the cover of In Demand Tax Professional magazine, where he had a centerfold spread of just him with receipts.
God, they love that tax guy. All right. Well, Peng wants an all-day celebration with images of Peng's face decorating everything. And it really does say that. God, this show gets crazier every fucking year. And, Rachel's like, what if his face floats in the day head? That would be good. Fuck him.
It turns out he's in demand from himself. He's in demand of himself. So that's why he needs all of his face on decorations. All right. So
all right, now he's gonna want a lot of food that he can call mushrooms. Okay, so just get anything that he might be able to say, is this mushrooms? Also, he wants an evening with a Playboy theme, and he wants an exotic dancer. And Rachel goes, a young, sexy male. And Ross goes, wait a minute, did you not pick that up? Because Fraser's like, what? I didn't see that one coming. Young, sexy male.
I didn't realize that he was gay. He looked so unkempt. So he's like, well, I thought that he was quite closely connected to Madame Breasts, which is the lady who's also a primary or something. I like that. Yeah. Madame Breasts.
So Ross is like, as an added bonus, his friends would like someone to jump out of a birthday cake. And the captain's like, we're leaving my old ass out of that one. Fuck God. Couldn't even get me out of my chair since it doesn't goddamn swivel. Fuck this. Everyone go do whatever the fuck you want to. I really don't give a shit.
Meanwhile, Haley is talking to Alyssa and Camille. She's saying that she's a Pisces, and she's like, so I'm an emotional mess, and my boyfriend's a Gemini, and we're like the most compatible type, well, most incompatible type, in it. You know what I'm saying? In it. Ka-ching.
And Camille's like, you know what my mom says? Love doesn't last at the beach. And Alyssa goes, so true. And she goes, yeah, I'm definitely attracted to bad boys. I've dated a football player. And football in the South, that's like no joke. You got 45-year-old men. They're like super fans of 17-year-old boys. It's like so fucking weird. I can't stand it. Like, wait a second.
Nothing about that.
How's that a bad boy?
How's that a bad boy? It's like, that's like a good old boy. Why aren't you dating the old men who are fans of the 17-year-old boy? Those are the bad boys.
Yeah.
Like literally bad boys.
In the terrible house. Way. Yeah.
I'm backed in a corner with my joke, everyone. I'm sorry. I'm going to just slide my way out.
Yeah, not a fun way. So
she just, but she's the type of person who's just going to use any transition to brag about something. Like,
yes.
And that's why I don't eat yogurt. Because let me tell you something. I dated a college SEC player. Yeah, he's a quarterback. He's a professional now. So yeah. You're like, that has nothing to do with yogurt, actually.
Yeah. Now, here's why I use Kleenex to blow my nose instead of paper towels. Hot guys love me. It's like, okay, all right. So after she says, my mom says love doesn't last at the beach. Haley's like, what does that even mean? She's like, well, love can't last at the beach because everyone's tan and everyone's hot. And Haley's like, well, to be fair, I live by a beach. You just described me, didn't you? All you really needed at the end of that was a ka-ching.
Yes, exactly. Well, anyway, nice perspective on white people dating. Thank you. So now the stews are dining, and Haley's like, she's like, I've been in yachting for four years, on and off, mostly off. Just basically, I put up a picture of a yacht on my wall once, and I think that's the extent of my experience. But I did a lot of waitressing, and I was a chalet host. So I've been in an Airbnb, so I think I'm pretty qualified.
I did chalet hosting in Chamonix. I was like, Shelly hosting in Chamonix. I love that. It is Shelly hosting in Chamonix. Did you see that, Fraser? He's like, I saw that. Great. Say it again. Shelly hosting in Chamonix. Again. Shelly hosting in Chamonix. God, you're good. I know, right, Queen? How dare you?
And Ed, who was your client at the chalet in Chamonix? Timothy Chalamet. So say that now all together. Timothy Chalamet and Chalet and the Chamolet.
Sally hosting for Chamolet and Chamolet. So she's like, yeah, I'm in and out of the yachting industry. It's like an ex-lover. You used to spend a lot of time with, and you really liked the sex, but you didn't really want to commit, but occasionally you want to dip back in there. I was like, stop fucking the boat. Like, what is this? Who are these people? What was this casting? Yeah, boats, they're like fucking. No, they're really not, okay?
But don't worry, everyone. I'm very qualified to be a stew, because when I'm not on the boat, I do Botox and fillers. Like, oh, okay, well, sounds great.
So then Fraser's like, oh, yes, well, I've freshly just got mine done. Do you like it? And they're like, where, Fraser, where? Like, Fraser's face never moves, but I think that that's natural because I don't remember it moving last year either. But he's like, well, you can only do it from here up, can't you? From your eyebrows up. And Rachel goes, no, I mean, my God, people are doing it to their grundles.
Please, we don't call that to Haley's face. So now it's like time, it's like cleaning. So it's like now it's nighttime. So Fraser sent like the stews to bed, but he's like, I need to do it all. So he's trying to do everything and he's organizing. And we get a montage of him cleaning late at night and he's like, this is ghastly. He's just making fun of everything. And he's like, I'm feeling the stress. I need to give my absolute all to this. This is everything. Because I grew up being hideously bullied. And there's...
Of course, of course. That's why you need to do a good job, because you were bullied. I mean, come on. Come on.
Camille's like, oh, your personality was just way too good for everyone. It's like, no, I was gay, you bitch.
I probably dated the guy that did it. Like, all right, Camille, back down. So he's like, yeah, there's this voice in the back of my head that says, you're not good enough. You're not good enough. And this boat is huge. So, yeah, I'm freaking out. I'm fucking tired. And Haley just comes by and, like, shoves his head into a locker.
I also do this on the side. Shove gay people's faces into toilets, that is. So... So now it's morning and Fraser's like, let's not have a panic attack today. And they're all waking up, and then Tony is like the really optimistic, happy guy of the season. Yes. He's like, yachting, I'm very, very new to this. I mean, I've worked like a small boat, like a tiny boat, like basically it was a rubber boat in my bathtub, you know? And the adventure was so good, and like nothing like a mega yacht, nothing at all, because I'm from Costa Rica and I'm a free spirit because, you know, Costa Rica. And so if I can go 5 days in the mountain with my backpack, oh, I love that. Well, I'm like, sir, I hate to break it to you. You're not on the mountain with a backpack. You're actually in a boat somewhere far away.
Yeah, stop he smiling. Seems nice, but I hate mountains and I hate backpacks and I hate outside and I hate positivity, really. So I know, that's kind of like, dead to me already.
Your happy, wonderful attitude. Just like prepare yourself to have it all destroyed by these people.
Yeah, I'll bet he's the first guy to cry. So then Alyssa is like, oh my God, the second I wake up, I'm like, let's fucking go. And Haley goes, right, that's because you're like 7 years younger than me, right? Just get the fuck out of my way. Love your hair. Hate you. Hope you die. So then Rachel and Fraser are talking and she's like, he goes, can I help you? And she goes, yeah, you can get me some cooter boards. And he's like, is that charcuterie? As much as I like talking about your cooter. Yeah, for charcuterie. Like, oh God, there's no respite.
She's like, yeah, it's for a melange. It's for a melange of my meats, thin sliced on a platter. You're not. Are you sure you're gay? You're really not picking up any of my my time tested gay humor.
They used to say I had cooteries in school.
No, it's cooties, stupid. It's charcuterie. This is gay shit on a board that people eat.
Bully.
So so there's like more cleaning. Now there's a stew meeting. And Fraser's like, all right, I've printed out some lists of your responsibilities, assuming you idiots can actually read anything. I'm not convinced yet. Anyway, now if something's not been done, I will know who's responsible for it. So here it is. It's a list. And as we all know, lists work very well on Below Deck.
And he tells us, last night I was having a mental breakdown and I realized I can't do everything. So I had to learn to delegate. I was like, who made you chief stew? But you just learned last night that you have to delegate. That's literally your job.
Okay, bless I don't know heart. Any who any of you are more than a few hours. There's redhead over here, big eyes over there, blonde girl talking about yogurt over there. So I'm just going to go off of experience. And the one who seems to have the largest experience of being a trash bucket, redhead. Congratulations.
Wait, who does he make? He makes Alyssa second.
Yes. Right. Alyssa is second stew, but Haley is first stew of being garbage.
First stew of sheet changing. Haley, congratulations. Alyssa, second stew, which would normally be first stew. You were second stew. She's like, thanks. I am going to absolutely smash it. I want to focus on the triangle of importance. Captain Lee on one corner, Frazier on the other corner, the ones paying me and who will hopefully give me a life of not having to do this shit anymore on the third corner. People inside the triangle, do your work, please.
Or people not inside the triangle, do your work, please. So,
also, Haley and Alyssa are both sitting there with their bare feet up on the couch. Mm-hmm. Gross, you're both fired.
Yeah, you know? Haley is actually like, Haley's like the... the stews in general seem like a disaster. Haley is like the only one that's likable so far. In it,
she's likable, but I feel like she's gonna try and like overcharge you for incense.
Yes, she definitely will. She's gonna try to like make you sign up for something at a farmer's market. So, but compared to Alyssa and Camille, I mean, so then now. Now Ross has requested, now Camille has to go up to the decking meeting. And so she's up there and Ben's standing next to her and he's like, you smell good. You don't ever say that to me. Like, ew.
Yeah, gross. Fucking inappropriate, sir. And Ross is like, all right, lines. Katie here. Someone else, you might be going in circles. Camille, you'll be in the middle. All right. And Katie's like, I've worked on a small boat, but like if I had to choose, I would choose deck outside with the boys. Put the sunglasses on, drink a Coca-Cola. It's a vibe.
Yeah. So now now there's like provision, there's like stuff. Frazier's like looking for, he's sourcing a giant cake for someone to jump out of. And Alyssa asks Camille for napkins. Oh, here's a drama. Alyssa asks Camille for napkins and Camille goes, and where would I find those? Alyssa goes, I have no idea. That's why I'm asking you. And Camille's like, this girl got me running around doing shit for her. I'm like, well, she's the second stew. And you're the deck stew. Find the napkins.
Yeah. So then Alyssa is talking to Camille. And she's like, so... Oh, yeah. Again, this is like, we see Frazier like, cake. Oh, my God. Bullied. I've been bullied. Where do I get the cake? And then we go back to Alyssa. And she's like... So are you going to get the napkin thing done? And Camille's like, I don't know where the napkins are. So yes, but that's what I'm saying. Do you want to ask Frazier or do you want me to ask Frazier? You can ask him. She's like, okay, so this Camille girl's giving me attitude, right? So Alyssa's like, Frazier, Alyssa, do you know where the napkins are? And he's like, Lois, do pantry, galley pantry, just do it. And Camille's like, well, I never would have expected them to be there. She's like, well, that's why you can ask him to do it. Okay, you can ask him where they are.
It's a disaster because Alyssa's approach is pure passive aggression and Camille's approach is pure snottiness. And so it's going to be amazing to watch.
Yep. So then Camille's mumbling to herself. She's like, I mean, you're the one stuck in the pantry. So why aren't you the one calling and asking? I mean, you can't find napkins? Okay.
It's like, listen, Claire Danes, you're going to need a lot less attitude working two damn jobs.
Asking me for napkins. This is why I dated the star quarterback somewhere. Napkins. Just wanted to mention that.
It's bad boy. Bad boy quarterback.
So now they're cleaning. The guests are showing up. So now the guests are arriving and we have Peng. And he's like, at first I liked Peng. At first I was like, oh, I like this guy. And then I came to realize that I feel like he was playing dumb. Like, I feel like he's bullshitting us this entire charter. And it starts right from here because he's like, he walks up. He's like, I have to pee again. Hey, guy. Wait. Hey. What's that flag up there? And there's like a girl, like he has like a whole bit where he plays extremely dumb. He's an in-demand tax professional. And he's like, what's that? It's a boat. Oh my God.
What is that
flag mean? They're like, Saint Lucia. Oh, cute.
The whole episode, he's doing this. And at first I was like, oh, that's funny. And I was like, wait a second. This is all bullshit. This is all he is playing a part right now. He thinks he's being very charming. And I am on to Peng and his what he's doing here.
I'm on to Peng. So the captain's like, welcome aboard. We've got a great few days planned out. Birthday boy. Okay. I'm going to have Mr. Olander give you a tour. That's his name, just in case anybody wants to know. It is Boring Face Olander. Okay, go for it, Boring Face. It's like, well, thank you very much, Captain. I suppose I'll take it away.
And by take it away, I mean my soul. I am going to let it evaporate away out of my body upon immediately seeing your stupid faces. Follow me.
Currently bullied. So Peng falls up the stairs. He's like, I love that. Ah! And they're like, ha ha ha, oh my god, he falls too. He doesn't understand what flags are and he falls down. That is hilarious.
And then he goes to the bathroom. He's like, is there soap? And Fraser's like, there will be. Apologies. Oh my god. So Fraser's like mortified that there's no soap on the first day.
Well, they've been here 10 minutes and we've already fucked up. So that's great. And he's like, oh, and by the way, those urine stains are not mine.
Back down in passive aggressive theater, Camille and Alyssa are trying to figure out things now. And so Camille is like, Alyssa, do you want side plates? And Alyssa goes, do you want side plates? And Camille goes, I'm asking you. I mean, look at your stripes. And she goes, and I'm asking you too. She goes, okay, stripes. I mean, you're on service.
And Alyssa's like, well, you can bring plates then just because. Sure. She's like, okay, that she's got an attitude problem. God. You're both jackasses. Like, why is it?
I know. So awful.
They're trying too hard to have a fight right at the beginning. So before I go into I think that's a thing on this show. Since they change casts every year and everybody learns how to do it from watching it, they all come in with these preconceived notions of what they're going to be. Like, I'm going to be this character and I'm going to be that character and I'm going to fight with the Chief Stew. It really takes a few weeks on Below Deck until they are overworked, exhausted, and really start getting cabin fever that this show really takes off, you know?
Always. So now Captain Lee does the standard monologue for a captain on a Below Deck franchise. We got a new boat. We got a new crew. We got a new location. We got new attitude. We got new everything. It's a lot of pressure. And they're going to point fingers and be like, look at that dumb shit. Holding a cane and a top hat, thinking he can run a boat when he's just a cricket. Am I right?
Now get out of my dreams. And into my car. All right. Can't put toothpaste back in a tube. Can you recase a sausage? I don't think so. What the fuck am I even talking about? I really don't know. But take this pointer, sister. Get to work, goddammit.
Fenders. Lunch at 3:00. So they are. Okay. So this is when I became suspicious of Peng. Because up to this point, I was like, he's cute. He's nice. It's funny. And then he like stands at the edge of the boat and he goes, is this the ocean? Anyone who's doing taxes with him, please reconsider.
I forget when he says it, but at one point he sits down and puts his feet in the water and he goes, why is this wet? And his friend's like, because it's the ocean. The fuck, Peng?
Well, I think that like... I think he's doing it just to annoy his girlfriend because she falls for it every time. He's like, what's that? It's your feet, Peng. I think he just likes having her correct him.
They're also getting extremely wasted really fast. And he moves to a table with Ashley. Ashley is his friend, like his bestie. So they're like, oh my God, I can't wait to drink in here. What a beautiful room. Spill it all over. And they're like, oh my God, Fraser, we spilled. And then Peng just starts screaming, ah, Fraser, we spilled a whole vase.
Is there any way we can get more towels? It was Kwai who did it, by the way, not me. And Fraser's like, things happen. Is it too soon to throw oneself overboard? Because I'm sure as hell going to try.
So then we see they're done undocking or getting out or whatever they're doing. And Tony goes up to the captain and he's like, so how long have you been capitan? And he's like, 40 goddamn years. Oh, that's a long time, no? So you started like normal deckhand and then you made your way all the way up, right? He's like, every shit job there was, I did it. Backpacking? No, fuck that. I ain't doing that.
Even I have my limits. You know what? Tony is green. He's literally green. I think he's seasick. You know, skill sets can be taught, but Jesus Christ, look at that kid's attitude. He's got a smile as big as all the outdoors and a willingness to learn. I can work with that, okay? Get out of my goddamn face and wash some salt off the windows, why don't you? God, that kid's going some places.
And Tony's like, well, you start from the bottom and then you work your ass off and then you go all the way up. All right, I guess I'm going to start going to work for the yacht. Thank you, Captain. God damn it, I love that kid. Normally, I'd hang him by his toes until his head's in the water and just drive the boat around until he was clean in the side of it like it was a goddamn morning. But you know what? I'm going to start teaching with hugs. It's like, who are you? Is this not how you train people? You just let that kid feel good about himself.
Yeah, it's not right.
Who are you?
So then Ben and like Camille and Ben are like talking, I think, in like the crew mess. And she's like, hey, nice job on the bow. I didn't realize you knew so much. And he goes, yeah, I'll get you up on the bow next time. She goes, that'd be real nice if you and I were on the bow. He goes, yeah, we'll get a real Titanic vibe going. I'm like, you know what? When you're at the crew of a boat, let's not go for a Titanic vibe. Let's go for a...
Yeah, isn't it bad enough the guests do it all the time? How about we go for a clean tannic tide?
How about... clean tannic. How about we go for a not crashing into things on the boat tide?
Not killing people tide. So then he's like, yeah, I'll stand right behind you and we can do the whole Titanic thing. She's like, my heart, well, what was it? What was it? I was like, oh my God, you guys can't even do Titanic.
Yeah.
Get out.
Seriously. So Rachel's making like a pretty simple lunch of like, you know, she's making like some hummus and baba ganoush and some chicken skewers, like a sort of a chill lunch. And now the anchors are going down and anchors down, anchors down, anchors down, and anchors are down. Cheated death once again. And
so one of the gays is like, so Haley, does the boat make you feel drunk when it wiggles like that? Just, you need to get more drunk. That's the secret. And they're like, oh my God, I love her. Her hair is fabulous. So they love her because she really is. I feel like she's built for the gays to love because I love her too already.
Yeah,
I'm
no,
like,
she
Mommy,
is
don't
for the gays.
Do it.
She's
going
to
betray you. Yeah, but I love her.
Yeah.
What can I say?
No, we're going to like... probably go to the Abbey with her one day. I can already sense it. So then the guests are getting hungry and Rachel is behind because the meat that she's planning to use is still frozen. And she's like, you know what? There's so many things at play. Like there's new crew, new equipment. We're a very vast boat. And then she's like running down the stairs going, suck my fucking sphincter. Now I feel like a rushed asshole.
But now the guests are waiting, and so they're getting really annoyed. And especially one guy, I didn't write down his name, but he's like, we haven't had lunch yet. Would you like a drink? No, actually, I want to eat. And it cuts to Rachel going, motorboat me, bitch! And I don't mean you, I mean life! And so then he's talking to Ashley. He's like, oh my God, if you're not topless on this... Oh, Ashley's our friend. He's like, if you're not topless on this trip, then... I don't know what to say. So she just pulls out her boobs and he's like, yes. Fraser's like, yes, yes, so, yes, yes, breasts.
Yes,
yeah, no,
yes,
yes,
yes, queens.
Yes.
Queens, New York.
Yes.
Yes, yes, yes. This is Gaga. Yes, Gaga. So now the guests are sitting at the table and Pen comes over and goes, wait, is this dinner? No, Pang, it's lunch. Oh.
So Connie, one of the guests, is like, guys, let's pray. I think we should pray for some food, first of all. God, that was good. And Alyssa's like, all right, guys, here we go. Oh, no, Alyssa's like, hey, guys, here we go. Baba ganoush, hummus, olives. And Pen goes, I don't even know what I'm eating. There's beans in this, right?
Pang, it's hummus. Oh. something shocking. One of the gays goes, we need more bread. I was like, excuse me. Do you understand?
No, he said, we need more than bread.
Oh, more. Okay, there we go. That makes more sense.
Yeah.
Okay, that's back on brand. I've been.
He's not that hungry.
Order has been restored. So now Frasier is like in a tizzy. He's like running around. And he's like walking through the hallways and he has like a pillow under his arm. He goes, why have I got a pillow? God, the trash has become the trashy. Does that make sense? I don't even know. My metaphors aren't even working right now. I am turned around.
And then Pang spills another drink. Okay, less cute now, Pang. Okay. So now chicken and lamb is served. And he's like, I'm already full. Where did this even come from?
And Frasier goes, I'm sweating already like an absolutely filthy, reckless, fucking little whore. And that is a direct quote, by the way.
So, Frasier is telling Ross that they need to get the cake and the dancer. So they have to, like, take the boat to pick them up. And this is where Ping puts his feet in the water and goes, it's wet. Why is it wet? Because it's the ocean, Ping.
Their comedy routine is really wearing on me. So now it's like, so now the plan is to have dinner at 9 and Rachel's going to do a whole tasting menu and it should be easy. She's like, it'll just be like a 90 minute, like it'll be really easy. She only needs 90 minutes to put it together. Super easy. And then afterwards they're going to have this rave, but Camille keeps calling it a rage. She's like, yeah, I'm so excited for the rage party. And I hope that I hope we can do the rage part. I'm so excited. You know, if I were Second Stew, I'd have fun with it because Alyssa is saying that she hopes that she doesn't have to work the rave. So Camille's like, I mean, if I were Second Stew, I'd have fun with it. Like a little fun. Alyssa is that kid in class that got all A's. And I was that kid that was just like, get a C, man. We're just going to go and roll out with that degree with my C's. Am I right, everyone? I dated a quarterback.
Yeah, congratulations on mediocrity, Camille. So Frasier's like, Camille, God, who even am I? I'm a gutter whore. Meet me, please. And she's like, I'm just delivering a couple of drinks mediocrely, and then I'll be right down, possibly at some point. And Alyssa's like, oh, you can just go. She goes, I am going. She goes, no, I meant to Frasier. She goes, oh, okay, cool. I guess I will go.
And then meanwhile, Katie and Ross are going to go pick up this, like, the big cake thing for the dancer to jump out of. And so they're, like, in the tender. And Katie's doing this thing where she's like, oh, my God. Like, I am, like, so small. Aren't I, like, so small? I'm, like, small. And Ross is like, yes, we could fit a couple of you in the cake. Me? Just small me, Katie? I'm like, everyone.
No lunch on Wednesday or Thursday, Katie. That's me.
Cleaning Miami style. That's me.
So the guests are running around drunk as hell. And the captain's watching and he's like, they're drunker than a bunch of four-peckered goats, ain't they? God. Oh, damn it. God, I wish. What happened?
You missed a classic Pang moment. I lost my sunglasses. They're on your face, Pang.
Oh, yes, queen. So then they pick up the cake. Everything goes fine. Everybody changes for dinner. And then a couple of the guys are talking to Frasier at the bar. And one of them's like, so you've never been to Utah, have you? I mean, I think Utah would surprise you. And he goes, oh, I haven't. But I just adore gay things. So is it a gay thing? Because I would like it then. And they're like, Pang goes, wait a minute. Do you even know about Mormons?
Yeah. Do you know that we were all Mormon? Like we were Mormon. And Frasier's like, does that mean? Is that a word for stupid American?
Is that a word for trashy spilling things all over the place? Yassas. And he's like, yeah, it means multiple wives. And one of the guys goes, yeah, Mormons, you know, multiple wives. They're like, that is not what it means, gay person. It does not mean multiple wives.
So then Captain Lee's like, eh, all right, everyone. It's time for me to have another St. Lucia monologue. You know, looking at the weather, and I've been a captain for 37 years, and I've been knocking around the Caribbean for a long time. Or should I say Caribbean? Which way do you say it anyway? Caribbean, Caribbean? I don't know. Stupid either way. So St. Lucia is one of my favorite islands. Just breathtaking, but you got trade winds down here, and it's going to blow. Just like our guests in a back alley, it's gonna blow, and it's gonna make your life miserable. So suck it up, cream puff. Ain't nothing but wind.
So Fraser asks the Stews if somebody could bring 8 wine glasses from behind the bar. And so they start getting them. And then the boat rocks, and things start crashing down. And they lose a glass.
Yeah, because this is the new thing on Below Deck, is that they realize that there's a lot of drama on Below Deck Sailing when things fall over every episode. So like once per season now, the big boats, the motorboats, they're like contractually obligated to rock around to make sure they get footage of things falling off of counters.
Yeah, they need at least one of those things to use in the preview.
The old classic cupboard door flying open.
Yes.
Every time.
So Peng's like, oh my god, is that the boat or is it Mia? And they're like, no, it's the boat, Peng. And he's like, help me.
And then things have fallen all over the galley. So Rachel's like, what the fuck goddamn happened in here?
Yeah, and so now she has to clean everything very thoroughly because she, you know, because of broken glass. And this puts dinner super far behind because of it.
Yes, so we start to see the unraveling of Rachel begin.
Yeah.
So now it's 9:30 and dinner was at 9, I think. And so Fraser's like, Rachel, have you got an ETA? Should I seat them? You know, there is an EAT in seat. So I don't mean to double down on the ETA, but they would love to eat. Should I seat ETA?
CTA.
Anything?
Cuban. She's just behind. She's losing her mind. And meanwhile, Ross is talking to Katie, and Ross goes, these towels are a bit wet. She goes, yeah, they're wet. Stupid people.
Especially to a tiny person. So then
tiny little wetter drops.
They're waiting at the table. They're just like sitting there waiting. And Ashley goes, y'all, we look like Mississippi porch whores out here. Because they're in their Peng shirts. They're in sleeveless shirts. So then downstairs there's bread, but Camille's like, can I get butter? And Fridge is like, just give me 2 seconds. And she kind of stands there while he's looking all over for butter. And she's like, oh, fuck it. And so she just walks off. He's like, I've got the butter. No one here. No one here to appreciate my bullied. I've been bullied. Butter bullied.
Yeah. I mean, she's lucky that these guests don't eat bread, because otherwise they would have been pissed with the lack of butter. So then upstairs, oh, Peng drops silverware. Girl! Peng, he's so silly. Gay.
Yeah, the hungry gay's like, what time is dinner? I just want food. So Rachel's like, okay, the first course is cauliflower puree, because it's a multi-course tasting menu and a lot goes into it, and the pantry is downstairs. Okay, it's like a 0 to 100. Okay. And so they start serving, and Junior is giving a speech about Peng, and he's like, Peng was like my first friend in Salt Lake, and he just like loved you.
I'm sure he did. Have you seen yourself?
Yeah.
God damn. I love you too. I'll do whatever you need, sir.
Yeah. In the man text professional in search of Hunky Junior. So, God.
Shit. I'd have a lot more friends if they all look like that. I'd be like, come over. Knock on my door whenever you feel like it. I don't care.
Come on, knock on my door. So now this course of roasted mushroom, this like cauliflower puree. They're eating it, and Peng is like, "It's mushrooms," and she's like, "Actually, it's roasted cauliflower, many different types." And he's like, "It's totally mushrooms." She's like, "No, there's no mushrooms in it." And Peng goes, "Wow, it's so good. I just ate it all." But then Rachel at the end says, "And there's a morel broth." I'm like, "Morels are mushrooms." Peng actually was right on this one.
Yeah, he was. And she walks off and he goes, "Totally mushrooms, but that's okay."
Yeah. How could she say there's no mushrooms in this and then say it's served in a morel broth? I am shocked and appalled.
Yeah. So then Camille and Haley are making a bed, and Camille's like, "I mean, it's supposed to be 5-star, but it feels like a 3-star to me. I mean, there was no butter prepared. There was no wine pulled. You know that you're a service stew, right?"
Right. You know that's your job, right? You know that the lady who is just very proudly bragging about how she aimed for C's in school is now going to be the one to be like, "Why is this not 5-star? Why is this not A+?
Because of you, ma'am." So Haley's like, "Yeah, she needs to stop with the whining, really. I mean, it's just too..." But to her face, she's like, "Do you think it was rushed, or what do you think? What are you saying?" She's like, "It was discombobbled."
I can't believe... What? You mean to say that Camille did not get A's also? Discombobbled. That's like the worst. Okay, so sometimes people, obviously we all do it, we all say kind of like we add a fictional conjugation or whatever to a word to make it sound more real. It's like what we talked about last week with malintent, how it's not really a word, but it sort of sounds a lot like a word. But discombobbled, like that's the dumbest way to make a word sound real. It was discombobbled.
He is discombobbled.
Like, at least say discombobulated or something. Discombobbled.
Yep. Yeah. So then the boat arrives with the dancers and stuff, and the guests take shots, and Peng is like dry heaving now. He's like, "Oh my God, I need bread now. I need bread." So now he'll eat bread. So then Tony is talking to the dancers, and he's like, how long have you been doing this?" And they're like, "Doing what?" "You know this, what it is you're doing. It looks so amazing." And he tells us, "The guests are already so drunk, and it doesn't make you a good person being so rich. I want to hang with the Lucians. I'm sorry, because that's what makes me a richer person. Respect the locals, always, you know?"
Like, the dancers are like, "Oh God, I hate when the crew members try to talk to us about our careers. Like we're suddenly on 60 Minutes. Just let us twirl our lights and get back to home."
I hate the respect the locals types. You know, they're probably telling each other like, "Oh God, it's another one who wants to respect the fucking locals."
Respect the locals by shutting the fuck up so we can do our job. Thank you very much. Yeah.
So then they're getting really restless up at the table. Peng is like trying not to barf. It's been 20 minutes since the last course, and there's supposedly 6 of these coming, right? So Fraser's like, "Rachel, we still need to feed them. Where are you at?" She's like, "God damn it, get out of my cooler." And so they're bored. So then we get a tiny Brussels sprout salad.
I would have been pissed, to be honest. Like, dinner was already like an hour late, and then it's like 30 minutes between portions. And then
it
looked like, because she was using negative space too, so it really accentuated how small it was. It looked like there was like a missing protein. I would have been like, "What the hell? I waited 30 minutes for this."
Yeah, it looks like she sent out like a little pile of coleslaw. And so, there's truffle oil on it. Is there mushroom on this? Nope. There is. Nope. Just truffle oil. There's mushroom. Nope. No, there's not.
She seems a little discombobbled. By the way, I have to say, it's killing me. It's killing me inside because I know I'm going to get a message if I don't say this right now. When I just said about discombobbled, that like at least try to make it sound more official, like discombobulated. Of course, discombobulated is the word she was trying to use. And so I know people are going to be like, "Actually, Ben, discombobulated is the right word." So I just had to get that out.
No, you said discombobulated.
Discombobulated. Either way, what I was trying to say was she could at least try to make the fake word sound closer to discombobulated, like discombobulized.
Discombobulated.
Discombobulated.
So Peng is like, "I'm dying. I am dying right now." And one of the gays is like, "Hi, baby gorgeous." Which I loved. The Salt Lake fans.
I love that they were basically all SLC fans because it sounds like they're all from Utah.
And Fraser's like, well, hello, baby gorgeous. God, I hate you. Please
what is
die.
That? What baby is actually gorgeous? Why do they say these stupid things? What am I not getting?
So finally the guests are like, you know what? I'm bored. Let's not even finish dinner. This sucks. And Fraser's like, Rachel, just skip to dessert. They're leaving the table. They said, and I quote, they're bored. And she's like, I'm going to fucking cry. Just get rid of this. I don't care. Just get it out of my face.
Suck my dick. So now the crew's changing into like a rave outfit. And now it's like they're all doing the rave, and the guy pops out of the cake. He's not really an exotic dancer, but he dances. And there's
and the cake doesn't really pop open either. It's just the lid comes off. He's like, hello. Tony's like, a local, everybody, a local. Yes, local. God, I love locals.
And there's like limbo, and there's a cake, and then Pang is like, oh my god, thank you so much. And he does like a prayer hands, like, thank you, I'm doing the prayer hands thing, I'm sincere, yes queen.
And Fraser meanwhile is like, I'm feeling so overwhelmed, I bit off way more than I can chew, and I feel like I'm not capable of doing this job.
So then comes the most important part, because now everyone's gone to bed and it's late at night and the stews, everyone's winding down, and Fraser has told Alyssa to give Camille like a task before she goes down. So now comes Flatwatergate, wherein Alyssa tells Camille to restock all the bars with a lot of flat water because everyone here is drinking a lot of flat water.
Right. So then Camille does it and she's like, okay, water stocked. And she goes, and if anything, you know, there's always tomorrow. Guess it's time for bed. And Alyssa says, well, the crew area needs a vacuum right now. I mean, if you don't want to, then just know that I'm going to do it. So I'm going to check the fridges while you vacuum. So she goes, and Camille hates her, right? It's like 2 in the morning. So Alyssa's like, oh God, I have to stop what I'm doing to chase this girl around. Wait, Camille, there's literally no water in the fridge, okay? This water, right here. She goes, I did put water in the fridge. She goes, but it's not stocked. And as much as you hate to hear it, trust me, I hate telling you even more.
The
trust
most
me.
Condescending thing that a manager could say. I hate telling you to do it even more. So let's go down and like, let's bring some water with us. Shall we put some water and we'll just stock it with the water that we're going to bring with us that you should have brought in the first place. So Camille does this thing of, you know, there's a way to lead and there's bossing. So there's like the combination of Alyssa being a passive aggressive supervisor and Camille being like, this is not the way I like to be led. It's just like a terrible combination. So Alyssa's like, well, we're trying to get you to bed. We're trying to get you to bed, but we're trying to also get you to do it right. Okay. So let's look at this fridge right now. Okay.
So she opens the fridge and she's like, look at this. There's space for flat. There's space for Pellegrinos. There's still space, okay? To me, this is an empty fridge because there's space in it. She goes, right, but there's flat water there that I put there. Yeah, but it's not full. So you put some in there, but it's not to the top. So don't need space, okay? Don't need space.
So basically, Alyssa was exaggerating because there was flat water in there, but Camille was cutting corners by only putting in some flat waters and then not finishing the rest of the fridge. That both of them are just totally ridiculous,
but they're gonna try it, you know. They're gonna make their first big fight about water, which,
yeah,
hey, is it more fitting on Below Deck? Bigger, better than ever.
Below Deck, and as they say at the end, it's gonna be a long season. So that's where we're at with that. So anyway, nice to have it back.
Oh, Lordy Lou.
Good to see Captain Lee back on our screens again. Hope he's doing well. It's a little scary with that nerve issue that he has. And you got a lot of nerve talking about my nerve issue. That's what he says. Yes.
Yeah, that's right. All right, everybody. Well, thanks for being here for Below Deck. We'll be back soon. Some other time. Not going to promise when. But God damn it, we sure love you.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Dana C.
Dana Du.
Sarah Greenwood, she only uses her power for good.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
You're never alone with Lacey Monteleone.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
There ain't no problem that Sarah Salvia can't solve ya. The Bay Area Betches, Betches.
And our super premium sponsors, the incredible edible Matthews sisters.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
Always the wiser, it's Allison Weisler.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva. Erica, 500 Days of Summers.
She's the Queen Bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
Undo your fasteners, it's Erin Kastner.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
Better do what she says, it's Elva Enriquez.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
We want to hang with Liz Lang.
Shannon, out of a can, and Anthony. Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.
50 high school senior girls descend on Mobile, Alabama every summer to compete for a massive cash prize. It isn't Survivor. It's one of America's most lucrative scholarship competitions for teen girls. It's been around for 7 decades. Now you'll hear what took place behind the scenes. From Pineapple Street Studios and Wondery, this is The Competition. I'm your host, Shimo Liai, and I was Nevada's contestant 20 years ago. Now I'm returning as a judge to find out what 2 weeks with 50 of the country's most ambitious teens can tell us about girlhood in America. What happens when the competitors are thrown into the deep end with the best and brightest? And how does surviving the competition prepare them for everything that comes after? Follow The Competition on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge all episodes of The Competition early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
I love a good parasocial relationship with a celebrity who will probably never know my name.
I mean, honestly, who knows? Don't count yourself out. But my favorite part about these feuds is how they're ignited by the tiniest things.
Jada, I love you. G.I. Jane 2, can't wait to see it.
I accidentally laminated my brows too much.
It starts small and then it gets so big.
To be honest, Naomi, I'm fearful of you to this day.
I don't know her.
We all just have to admit, we're addicted. Everybody has opinions. Everyone picks sides.
Leave Britney Spears alone right now.
From Wondery, I'm Sydney Battle.
And I'm Matt Bellassai.
And this is Dis and Tell, la, 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 where we unpack why we get so invested in these feuds and whether or not our attention only makes the whole thing worse.
Follow Dis and Tell wherever you get your podcasts.